Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Historic Julian Price Place Studios of WBT. But all you folks down the upstate, I haven't forgot about you now. And maybe, just maybe, on my next foray back east, I will make my way down to the upstate. My old stomping grounds. I offer that as a promise instead of a threat. And by the way, South Carolinians, y'all going to want to listen to this too. Because what's going on right now in North Carolina went on in Arizona over the last year. And let me preface this by saying on my unique commute today to do the program, ensconced as I have been for the last few days in Cabarrus County. Beautiful drive, and very different from the desert. The Carolinas have their own charm, and you know, it's funny, you get used to different things. And, you know, going to Northwood Elementary School, High Point, North Carolina, where Mrs. Baba was the librarian, and taught us that someone who writes a book is an author, not an Arthur. Well, Mrs. Barba, who was so enraptured with the state of Arizona, she would have in the reference room magazines that had to be left there. And you had to sign out a copy of Arizona Highways. You had to sit in the reference room. You had to keep a time. Okay, I picked up the April edition of Arizona Highways, and I read it for 10 minutes. She'd keep track of that Arizona Highways, along with National Geographic. And I say that by way of, yes, Arizona, the desert vistas that I call home, the changing light, it is incredible. If you haven't been out for a visit, I'm not here for the Chamber of Commerce, but y'all get out there, especially to visit the Grand Canyon, and you won't be disappointed. But I come home here to the Carolinas, and you know, I haven't been a resident of the Carolinas in well over three decades. But I come back here, and the drive-in was beautiful through Cabarrus County. It was green and lush and flowers and birds and springtime. But I go by both an elementary school and a high school. And I mean, this wasn't early. This was between 7:30 and 8. No cars. And that's not because of some sort of hippie global warming green initiative. I surmise, and callers are free to correct me, either they're starting the school day pretty late or this is spring break week. I think it is the latter. Because especially the history of North Carolina. In case you did not realize this, Easter Monday was a state holiday for years in the old North State. Here's the reason why. You knew it had to do with government. You know what the deal was? Back in the day, so far back in the day that Wake Forest was in Wake Forest College and it was still headquartered in that small town in Wake County, before the Rinalda Foundation did for Wake Forest what the Duke family did for tiny Trinity College outside of High Point, moving that down to Duke, when Wake Forest was really in Wake Forest, and NC State has always been in Raleigh, the legislature, the General Assembly, it was a big deal to watch NC State play baseball against Wake Forest. And what day did that game fall? Easter Monday. So, in witness of my hand and seal, I affix this date of Easter Monday, whatever, yeah, to being a day away from the General Assembly and written in tiny agate type so that we may enjoy the NC State Wake Forest baseball game. No, well, really, that's the way it was. It's That's why Easter Monday was a holiday. Now look, nobody begrudges spring break, but here's the point I want to make to y'all. I'm about to get back to my high point. Here's a point I want to make to all y'all. Listen up as I return to Mid-American broadcasting vernacular with just a trace of the Carolinas. Here's the deal. This whole gimmick going on down in Raleigh on May 1st, May Day, the commie holiday, May Day, which is the international call sign for disaster, it is a disaster and a disgrace to so-called educators in the state of North Carolina. In the words of my old high school offensive line coach, who was inducted into the High Point Central Hall of Fame last year, I'll clean it up a little bit. He'd watch a performance on film back in the day. Now I know it's all gone to video. And one day the coach got so mad, he said, "You dang linemen, you make me want to puke." And I don't think it's too far-fetched to tell you right now, you so-called educators, you so-called friends of public education in North Carolina, you make me want to puke. Because what you are pulling is nothing more than a step toward a thugocracy. If you gave half a hoot about the children in your classroom, you would be there teaching on May 1st. I mean, I remember the gimmick when I was elected to Congress, the left in cahoots with the networks. I remember what it was back in 1994. The whole deal was Republicans are going to slash the budget. They're going to steal children's food. They're going to tear up the school lunch program. And just coincidentally at the time, the ABC television network started a whole promotional campaign, Children First. And it can be in any state, whether it's North Carolina, South Carolina, Arizona, or the mythical state of confusion. Whenever there is some sort of bond issue, some sort of a tax hike on the ballot, why do they tell you they need the extra money? Why, it's for the children. Let me tell you something. All you would-be socialist, striking, grievance monger teachers, if you gave a hoot about the kids in the classroom, your derriere in whatever shape, form, or fashion it is would be in a classroom teaching on May 1st. Don't you dare try to lie to the people of this state that it's vital for you to be out on May 1st, and to all the lily-livered worms in administration saying, "Yes, we are for progress, but these teachers can walk out all over us, and so it is a holiday." Let me tell you what. You make me want to puke, too. And let me tell you what else is going on. Get ready. It's happened in Arizona, and it's coming to a Carolina near you. Elements of the thugocracy. I'll tell you the story and take your calls. It's JD for Vince. There's a whole lot more ahead on the JD for Vince radio program. And this reminder to listen each weekday every hour from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. for your shot at $1,000. The winning starts on April 29th. Yes, it is the Vince Coakley radio program. No, this is not Vince. Instead, you've got the recovering congressman and special guest host, J.D. Hayworth. Now, let me preface my remarks. Before you fall into the whole caricature of, well, there's a conservative Republican, he hates everything public schools stand for. Not in the least. In fact, some of the upstaters, some of the folks immediately to our south who may be listening to this broadcast on WAORD, some of them, I dare say, recall when I would come as the sportscaster from Channel 4 Greenville and read in the elementary schools all over the upstate, in fact, crossing the state line back into North Carolina, wherever Channel 4's signal was seen. And I'd come in and read, and we'd have a program to promote reading, and we'd give out bookmarks, and kids, if they read a certain number of books, There were incentives. And here's this is really bipartisan. This is not something where conservatives cave and roll over to Democrats, not the least. I wasn't even in politics, but Dick Riley at that time, the Democrat governor of South Carolina, gave yours truly, this Cro-Magnon conservative, the School Bell Award because of the reading program. And you upstaters, you can vouch for me. So what I found was there, and in my own experience growing up, I was blessed with magnificent teachers. Here's my concern about what has happened in Arizona and what is happening in North Carolina and what may be coming soon to a Carolina near you. A once proud profession, a profession of teaching, has been transmogrified into another grievance group where the basis is not educational, it is political. Now that's my take. And this whole thing about May 1st, if you really cared and you really valued your profession as a teaching, as a teacher, you would be in class teaching, not down in Raleigh protesting or politicking for old Roy down at the governor's mansion. Your comments are encouraged. They're welcomed. Toll free from any place, 1-800-928-1110 or Charlotte and vicinity, 704-570-1110. And speaking of Charlotte, on line two, it's Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello, JD. I was wanting to call in and tell you, as a proud husband of an educator.
Yes, sir.
Of 14 years.
Yes, sir.
That's how long she's taught in the state of North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
She will be in her classroom working on May 1st.
Amen.
She will be doing just a regular teacher work day while some of the staff from her school go, but she will be working.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And let me tell you, and I am not trying to over-dramatize this, Joe, but I hope if the school will allow it, I hope you can spend a little time with her. Because whether that day or later, let me just tell you what happened in Arizona. In Arizona, they didn't just pick a special day. They took a couple of weeks. And they just crowded into downtown Phoenix, and it was a lefty grievance monger, a go-go. Uh-huh. And I'm sad to say the Republican governor caved in. There is a new tax. They tried to call it a fee, a new tax to take what was already a pretty good median wage, because your wife didn't get into teaching to become rich. She got into teaching because she's a teacher, right?
Exactly. And her family is a proud line of educators. Her great-grandfather was a principal in West Virginia. Her mother taught for 30 years in the state of West Virginia, and she went into the profession, hopefully to be respected. But I will be honest with you, the only grievance that I have had with the Republicans legislature a few years ago was the doing away with the master's pay.
Yeah.
For new graduates. And it just so happened that my wife, the very next year, now I know this seems a little greedy because my wife has gone and gotten her master's, but she can tell you that with her master's, her level of education that she gives the children is actually improved.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's it. Continuing education, improvement, sure. And I understand why you'd have a bone to pick with the legislature about that. Joe, I just want you to watch out, though. Here's what's happening in Arizona. They already got the concessions. The little kid who ran it, and he's a young man. You talk about testing. There's an Arizona test that requires constitutional competence, understanding the Constitution. This kid couldn't pass it. But since he got this started, he's already been called back to headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. But now they're looking for another walkout. In a video, The new replacement thug says, quote, "And if you have people that don't want to walk out, that don't want to go back down to the Capitol, don't want to leave their classrooms, they better be out on that walkout, that standout, excuse me." And they're saying that they're going after these people. So here's the problem. We are looking at a thugocracy developing within education. They're threatening teachers in Arizona. And I hope your wife doesn't face the same threat, Joe. And I thank you for calling in from Charlotte. And look, again, I'm not trying to fan the flames of this. I'm trying to warn you. Because if it worked in Arizona, if some folks lacked the intestinal or another sort of anatomical fortitude to deal with the situation there, when you cave in, guess what? There's always going to be more of it. Oh, and by the way, you remember the last time we got together and I warned you they were going to say, teachers' salaries are 48th or 47th. And they were doing it on a push poll. Just this week, the Democrats, the PPP, public policy polling, out of Raleigh, they were doing that. Saying, you know, North Carolina teachers are 47th best paid. That ain't true. They're up to 32nd in the nation. And when you compare it with the cost of living of some of the other places, it ain't too bad. But here's the larger point. Every teacher worth their salt, sure, they'd want to earn more money, but they did not become teachers to be like Daddy Warbucks. They did not become teachers thinking one day they would be tycoons. And at least the teachers I know and the teachers I grew up with, in stark contrast to what has happened to the profession, they have not become folks with one eye on the clock and one bumper sticker on the car that says organize and vote for the left, but by and large, collectively, somehow along the way, we've let the profession of teaching transmogrify into a collection of leftist grievance mongers. I wish it were otherwise. Disagree with me, cool. Agree with me, that's fine too. Give me a call, 704-570-1110 or 800-928-1110. It's JD for Vince, and there is more ahead on this wonderful Thursday. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT invites you to join us for an in-depth debate among the North Carolina District 9 Republican primary candidates. It's going to be Tuesday, May 7th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Union County Ag and Event Center in Monroe. Bo Thompson, John Hancock, Vince Coakley, Mark Garrison, Joe Gillespie, and Brett Jensen will lead the discussion. We'll focus on the candidates, the issues that matter to District 9 residents, North Carolina politics, and of course, who's going to fill that vacant congressional seat. Tuesday, May 7th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Union County Ag and Events Center in Monroe. For more details, go to WBT.com/events. And in lieu of Vince Coakley, you've got the recovering congressman, J.D. Hayworth, and your phone calls. In Charlotte and vicinity, or as we called it back in the days of polyester and leisure suits, Metro Lina, the number to call is 704-570-1110 or toll-free from any place, most especially the upstate of South Carolina, 1-800-928-1110. And speaking of the upstate, on line three from Greenville, it's Bill. We've been talking about teachers and protests and what's going on May 1st in North Carolina. And Bill, how do you see things from there in Greenville?
J.D.'s, what a Southern born needs. I tell you what, they need to show the whole compensation package for teachers. They get off 3 months. They get all the insurance, retirement. What is it, J.D., about $160,000 or $70,000 worth of benefits?
I don't know what it is. All I know is all that stuff you read on the Internet about members of Congress getting their full salary for the rest of their lives. That ain't true. But as I understand it, for teachers, well, let's stop and think about, first of all, what you mentioned. There is a calendar that is predictable for teaching, and there are benefits that go along with it that may not show up in terms of conventional compensation. But now I'm getting to an age where I've spoken to a couple of friends who say, yep, got my 30 years in as a teacher, and God bless them for it. They were good teachers, and now they're going to get their benefits. So, yeah, it is a package that to a casual observer might appear modest, but it is predictable, dependable, and in terms of median income, it's a decent way to live. And Bill, I appreciate you making that point, brother. You take it easy. I think Bill got over there on the Poinsett Highway. Had to concentrate a little bit. I know where he's coming from there. Shannon is checking in from Shelby on line two. Shannon, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, glad to be here.
Thank you.
I got 2 points to make real quick, and I hope that the message can get out to John Hannity and Larry Elder and all the other people out there, if they're associates, you know, associates of yours or not. Iran is not the nuclear war is not the greatest threat to America. Terrorism is not the greatest threat. Global warming is not the greatest threat. The greatest threat to this country is the Department of Socialism, Indoctrination, Education, the Department of Education.
Well, you raise another can of worms that's related to this, and that becomes the point. Are we about education or indoctrination? And you take a look, and I realize that through the generations, Shannon, older folks say, well, look at those young whippersnappers, ain't about back in my day. But now things have gotten very different in terms of the way history is taught, in terms of people like, well, AOC, thinking socialism is cool. You raise a very good point, Shannon.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
Hey, one more thing.
Yep.
Obama, when President Trump got elected,
uh-huh.
Obama immediately got on stage and made a speech, and he said, I think he said it twice, we've got to reach the kids. That speaks volumes. That's the only chance they got is to brainwash a bunch of innocent-minded kids that don't know anything about history.
Shannon, I appreciate the call. And if you think Shannon is exaggerating, take a look at the latest initiative. It's been decried in some quarters as teeny boppers' rights. 16-year-olds and the vote? Stop and think about that. The topic is teaching. The problem in North Carolina is May Day, May 1st. And teachers taking a hike down to Raleigh, and school districts saying, oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. We're going to treat it as a holiday. From Piedmont on line six, Anita has a few thoughts. Hi, Anita.
Good morning, JD. Happy Thursday to you.
And to you, too.
Great, great conversation. And I agree with all of it. And I have some points I'd like to make just quickly. But
sure.
Your last caller, I mean, when he's talking about the indoctrination, it is so true. I mean, that's been going on. That wasn't just Obama. That's been going on a long time to where, my goodness, the moral fabric of this country, what's being taught in the schools, and that's the next crew of voters. Now, I have no doubt that's what happened and what is happening. My other point, this mob mentality of protesting anything, everything, we're do this or that. That's where this country's going, not just in this profession that we're talking about today, in all aspects of our government and our lives. And if people don't start standing up for what they believe is right, because I happen to know several teachers, they're very upset. I don't hear them talking about pay. They're upset about the curriculum and what they are being advanced or told that they have to teach. They don't like the erasing of our history. Because you don't like it. Somebody was racist 200 years ago. I don't know where we stop it, but thank you for your show. And I agree with all of it. And
all right, Anita. Well, it's good to hear from you from Piedmont today. And I'll give you an example. You may think this is far-fetched, but my last trip home, last time I was live and local here at the historic Julian Price Place, I went up and spoke to an AP history and civics class in a Guilford County high school. And the teacher is a longtime friend who we've known through the years. And the principal made a comment when he heard a former conservative Republican member of Congress was coming to speak to the kids, and I think I give a fairly even-handed introduction of topics and entertain everything in much the way we do talk radio. I'm not going to run from who I am or what I am or what I've done or what I believe in. But the principal was heard to tell the teacher, oh, so you got him coming by, huh? Well, I sure hope he doesn't indoctrinate our students. Yeah, as has been pointed, my friend the teacher held her tongue. But if you just heard the comment off mic, he said, wait a minute. No, of course, the congressman shouldn't come indoctrinate. That's the principal's job. Now, let me take it back to something else Anita said. Because a lot of us rant and rave about Saul Alinsky and Rules for Radicals and what has happened to taking the left's system of going into classrooms. But give Alinsky credit to this degree. He understood what Lincoln said years ago, and this is a paraphrase, but I think it's the essence of the remarks or this pointed remark from Abraham Lincoln, who said, those who control the classrooms today control the country in 50 years. And what we are seeing from that concerted effort starting in the mid to late 60s, a half century later, with new generations of Americans, that has taken hold. May Day, a disaster for education in North Carolina. We'll talk more about it when we come back. Well, we're heading down the home stretch, JD for Vince. The numbers to call remain the same. Charlotte and vicinity, 704-570-1110. Toll free from any place, 1-800-928-1110. Let's go to Charlotte on line four. It's Drew. Hi, Drew.
Hey, JD. Good morning.
Morning.
I have a pet peeve in relation to teaching, and I've talked to a number of folks that share the same opinion.
Uh-huh.
They teach history, but they teach corrected history. They don't politically correct history. They don't teach it as it should be. I'll give you a prime example. Everybody makes the issue that the Civil War was fought over slavery. It was not. It was becoming a very unpopular issue even in the South. And Lincoln needed a moral cause in 1863 as the reason the Emancipation Proclamation was declared. But you know this. A lot of people do, a lot of people don't. They teach in this distorted form of history that this was fought, basically, they're teaching racism. And you know as well as I, that was not the case when this happened, when the Civil War was fought. It was over states' rights, which, God forbid, we go against the federal government.
Well, Drew, you make a point that's very true. There were a variety of compelling reasons, but yes, in terms of shorthand and with political preferences, a lot of folks get a single sentence saying it was based on slavery. Drew, I thank you for the call. Down to Duncan on line six, it's Rick about teachers and what they're paid. Hi, Rick.
Hey, JD, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
The fact is that here in South Carolina and probably to some degree in North Carolina, you have a mass exodus of teachers leaving the profession for a lot of reasons. But I wanna talk about the pay, because I just did my daughter's taxes. She's her fourth year teaching in South Carolina, second grade, master's degree out of Winthrop and USC. Her taxes, gross pay, I think, for 2018 was roughly $42,000.
Uh-huh.
And she's also carrying and paying off of $75,000 of school debt.
Oh, so, mercy.
You know, while you say, which is true, teachers don't get in to be rich. That's for certain. And I don't think a teacher will ever claim that that's the reason. But there are very few professions that you go in, and after 4 years, you're making a medium wage here in South Carolina, $42,000, and you have $75,000 of debt, which you have to incur to meet the requirements of a job. And to excel in the job, you obviously get a master's degree.
Yeah, and here's what I would suggest.
That's a big problem.
This is what I'd like to see done. I don't know if anyone has proposed this. I'm not familiar with South Carolina law. Some states set up a situation where if you are willing to go into underserved areas, it could be in rural areas, it could be in urban areas, but if you pledge to do that, they will finance your education, your higher education.
She has that.
Well, she still has $75,000 of student loans for her master's?
This is after that.
Yeah.
Because she had gotten 4 years times $5,000 waived from the state of South Carolina for every year that she served in a district like what you're talking about. But that only covers $20,000 of her total bill. It's just a small part of it. So she becomes one of the many South Carolina teachers that's going to leave South Carolina and teach next year in Virginia, in part because of pay.
Yep.
And that is sad.
It is sad, but what is sad, but here's the identification. Not only teacher pay, but student loans that got nationalized. Student loans have been taken away from the banks, and this happened before Obamacare. The first thing Mr. Obama did to nationalize student loans to get his hands on education dollars and the power that comes from that. So education was used as a commodity, and your daughter deciding to go on and get her master's and incurring those high loans, it ain't always the fault of a low median salary as much as it is the way that's become absolute usury from a supposed compassionate federal government that nationalized student loans. I appreciate the call. Now let's go to line one from Charlotte. It's Rob. Rob, you got the last word, about a minute.
I'm going to make it quick, too. First 2 points. Thanks for taking my call. Number one, I'm going to go against you guys a little bit. Who cares? They have the right to do this. It's what they're allowed to do. Let them do it, and everybody gets it up where I get it. Number two, education versus indoctrination. Education is done in the school. Indoctrination, I've heard that word a couple times today. That starts in my household. Parents need to be parents nowadays, and that's where we're dropping the ball.
Well, there is some truth to that. It goes back to the book written by Mrs. Clinton. It takes a village to raise a child. No, first, it takes a family. Families are the first teachers. Mom and dad, in an ideal situation, are the first teachers of a youngster. That is what we have to remember. But here is the difference. Here's the difference, Rob. And First Amendment rights doesn't mean it's always right. Let me point this out. Police tried to pull this in Boston in about 1919, and a guy by the name of Calvin Coolidge said, no, you serve the public interest, you do not strike at any time. And what this is not a First Amendment rights expression, as you have offered, Rob, on a radio show inviting calls. It's people walking away from their jobs and intimidating the people and saying this is for our First Amendment rights. Rob, you got us thinking. I thank you for the call. It's been great. JD for Vince. Stay brave, stay free. Stay tuned.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.